You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel. So Floyd Mayweather, let me read to you a little known interview that he did where the subject of, I guess, the marketing approach that he's taking came up. This was prior to the fight with Manuel Marquez on the 19th of September. Question came into Floyd. It said, one of the current issues with the sport of boxing is the decline of youth interest and participants in the sport. A lot of kids seem to play basketball, football, baseball, etc. How big of a problem is this for boxing, and how do you try to inspire interest in the sport? See, if you can't get the youth, you're not going nowhere for long. I'm going to read the first part of that question again. It says, one of the current issues with the sport of boxing is the decline of youth interest and the participants in the sport. So here's what Floyd Mayweather says. He says, my fan base with children is huge. My fan base with children is huge. He says, the thing that I think that we're going to have to do, me and Ross Greenberg, and Ross Greenberg is the head of HBO Sports. Floyd Mayweather says, the thing that me and Ross Greenberg are going to have to do after the fight is we're going to have to sit down and come up with a new game plan. Me, Richard, talking about Richard Schaefer of Golden Boy Promotions, Oscar De La Hoya's partner. He says, me, Richard, Leonard, Al, and Ross. Leonard Ellerbe is Floyd Mayweather's advisor, and Al Haymon. Many of you know Al Haymon from the Budweiser Superfest. Big, big-time R&B hip-hop music promoter. Al Haymon, Leonard Ellerbe, Richard Schaefer, Ross Greenberg, and Floyd Mayweather, he wants them all to sit down. He says, we are going to have to come up with a whole new game plan for the sport of boxing. A new promotion plan where we can show a lot more boxing, not just on ESPN and Showtime or HBO. We're going to have to do this thing all over again and show it on just regular cable TV. We need to show a lot of fights on regular TV and with, you know, get a lot of kids, young kids, back interested. I mean, I can't stress enough how big of a business principle this is. Many of you all out there that are first-time entrepreneurs, small business owners, listen up. If you are a personality of some kind, you are in the workplace even, you need to study the difference between the current demand and the emerging demand. Floyd Mayweather is looking at the young people. And he's saying, even though I'm making money on HBO, Showtime, and ESPN, I could make a lot more money if a wider audience knew about me. The only way to reach them is to stop charging them. See, even though most people have cable, Floyd Mayweather is saying people have to pay to see HBO, people have to pay to see Showtime, people have to pay even for basic cable, basic digital with ESPN. So to widen his fan base, he wants more boxing to be available on regular cable TV where people will not have to pay as much, not just the premium channels, okay? So then Richard Schaefer comes in on this interview that I'm reading here. Richard Schaefer of Golden Boy Promotions. He says, I think this is a very good question, if I may add. He says, this is obviously something which we are trying to bring the way you promote an event to a younger audience. And the way you do that is you basically embrace the new media. And Floyd was very instrumental in doing that and embracing that. And Floyd Mayweather jumps in, he says, just like the movie theaters. So Richard Schaefer continues. He says, Floyd embraced the movie theaters. He wanted to make sure that with the social networks, with Twitter and the Facebook and MySpace and YouTube, that all these younger instruments were used. And mobile, the mobile. We have AT&T, which is going to stream the weigh-in live to AT&T mobile users. These are all the young kids, the young audience. Now, this is a lesson for black leaders. This is a lesson for your company. You keep going to the same tired group of people to support you. You can't reach no young people. Now, when I just spoke at George Mason University, oh, let me put the camera on me. I'm promoting Floyd Mayweather to make a point. But I don't want you to forget who this is talking. Okay, that's me. I just spoke at George Mason University. And there were some very elderly Caucasians there in their 70s and 80s. Some of them didn't even have any teeth. I'm being real. Some of them didn't have their teeth. I couldn't understand what they were saying. That's how old they were. And then they were like 18, 19 year old college students. And I went for them right away. The young college students were the ones that I wanted, and I was blessed to get them. If you can't reach young people with what you're saying, or you got to force young people to sit down and listen to you and they can't escape, you really are not building a meaningful relationship. You have to go for the new emerging market, I call it, the emerging demand for your product, which you can't see. That's why you see Jay-Z doing interviews on Bill Maher, doing concerts, 9/11. You all think that was charity. It was charity, but it was also to get Jay-Z mainstream to a bigger audience. And it succeeded. So when you go into the supermarket and you see Floyd Money Mayweather on the cover of Men's Fitness magazine, that's some high science behind it. Let me finish reading the text of this interview. And this is so important, and I hope you all are getting this. Some of you are only concerned about ideology. President Obama wouldn't be president today if he did not have a marketing mentality. Oh, there goes Keith Sweat again, giving bad advice. And stop that. Let me tune in for hour number four. I'll get back into that subject, the value of a female friend. So here's what Richard Schaefer of Golden Boy Promotions is saying. He says, so you basically embrace the younger audience by exposing the fight to the medias which they use and which they live with. Now, I'll give you all a test. You go talk to your young people. I'm talking about 15, 16, 17. You ask them, do they know who Brock Lesnar is or some of the mixed martial arts figures, Ultimate Fighting Championship? I guarantee you that more of them know who those people are than who the boxing champions are, other than Floyd Mayweather. That's showing you that boxing is dying among a younger audience, just like political ideologies are dying, certain organizations are dying among young people. So Richard Schaefer says, he says, I mean, we're working with simple things like fight shirts. He says, fight shirts used to be sold the night of the fight at the venue, but not anymore. We embraced a company which has the young market, and it's called Affliction. They are in 22,000 stores. These are the young kids, the young hip kids, which are buying these Affliction shirts. Well, Affliction is making the official fight shirt. So you'll have the official fight shirt exposed in 22,000 stores throughout the country 3 weeks before the fight, with tags promoting the event. And so you do that. See, some people just want money so damn bad that they charge people for everything. Instead of just giving away a t-shirt or selling it weeks ahead of the fight, you have old school rigid mentality that says, well, no, we're going to keep all the money. We only want to sell these the night of the event. So you have a lot of closed-minded people who will try to sell. They want 100% of nothing rather than 20% of everything. And this is a big dilemma. I write about it in my book a little bit as it relates to the black community. In the black community, ownership is everything. Ownership is everything. So you have this conflict between people who want to own everything and control it, but they don't execute the business plan the right way. So they end up with 100% of nothing. They end up being what? A big fish in a small pond? Sometimes it's better to be a small fish in a big pond. So in my book, I talk about black entertainment television and the question of whether someone is selling out because they go and make a deal with a business outside of the community and get some cash on hand. Is that selling out, or is that just getting capital to do more good? Now, some people mess it up. Some people sell out and they do more harm after they get the money. But you have to have a mentality of growing your audience rather than cannibalizing it. What I mean by cannibalizing, I mean you just keep going to the same people over and over and over and over and over again. Okay? Hold on, let me put the picture right. Okay, now Floyd Mayweather is on point. So here's my point. Black people don't buy Men's Fitness. Boxing fans alone don't buy this magazine, Men's Fitness. Not only that, Floyd Mayweather, now his image and face is in every supermarket that carries Men's Fitness. That's why he did the cover. Broader audience. I hope I'm making this clear. So he says, you reach out to the younger audience, and I think that's very important to us as promoters. Mayweather Promotions and Golden Boy Promotions embrace the youth by bringing these fights to them. So I didn't order the fight. I didn't order Marquez Mayweather. I was tired. As I said before, I've been sick. I laid in bed all day. I didn't get the fight. I thought that the fight would do 600,000 pay-per-views. 600,000 people is what I thought would end up purchasing the fight. Lo and behold, 1 million people are said to have bought the Mayweather-Marquez fight. Now, Marquez is not a household name. He has a big Mexican fight audience. But for 1 million fights to be sold, that means that a big male, white male audience wanted to see the Mayweather fight. But let me give you another reason why that fight sold 1 million pay-per-views. This was so brilliant.
All right, Colonel, I've got a special introduction at this time. Now, that was a great show that we just saw on the monitors. And in the world of wrestling and sports entertainment, there's a wrestler called The Big Show. And last year, Money Mayweather showed that he doesn't care how big somebody is. Big Show, 7 feet tall, 400 pounds plus. Broken nose, knocked on his ass by Money Mayweather. And here...
Yes, I had to bring that back from the top. This is the boxing announcer, par excellence, the one that says, let's get ready to rumble. He's introducing the reason, one of the reasons why Mayweather sold a million fights, million pay-per-view buys.
All right, Colonel, I've got a special introduction at this time. Now, that was a great show that we just saw on the monitors. And in the world of wrestling and sports entertainment, there's a wrestler called, and last year... Money Mayweather showed that he doesn't care how big somebody is. Big Show, 7 feet tall, 400 pounds plus. Broken nose, knocked on his ass by Money Mayweather. And here, on the WWE, is another great superstar, a legend of the WWE. 6 feet 5, 255 pounds. He will accompany Money Mayweather to the ring tomorrow night. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Triple
Now, this is Triple H accompanying the announcement that Triple H would walk Floyd Mayweather into the ring. You saw the reaction it's getting already. Brilliant. Floyd Mayweather's work with the WWE, bringing in all the professional wrestling fans, a big reason why he sold 1 million pay-per-views.
I just want to know one thing. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? To see the greatest fighter in the world, the pound-for-pound greatest fighter on this planet, Floyd Money Mayweather. Take back his spot on the throne at the top of boxing. I hear a lot of comedians out here telling jokes, laughing, but there's a saying, he who laughs last, laughs best. And I got a feeling tomorrow night, the only one laughing is going to be Floyd Mayweather. Triple H!
I had to salute Triple H now. My book's coming out next week. We're going to do some marketing for the book, well beyond what you may suspect. To promote this, I can't trust my reliable current demand. Some of you all are into favors. You won't buy that book. You'll tell me that you love me, but you will not buy this book. I gotta follow the playbook of Floyd Mayweather. I gotta find me a Triple H. Hey, don't forget, I'm in communication with the head of communications for the WWE. I met him. I might have to make a call. We might have to cut commercials for my book using MVP. Brilliant. Brilliant. Let me get some of your comments. If you have a point of view on this, is it selling out for Floyd Mayweather to get Triple H walk him into the ring? I think it's genius. Woo. Glenn from Philly weighs in. He says, P said, much agreed. Whatever happened to the big fights in boxing that occurred on Saturday and Sunday afternoons? He says, I believe that was the first place I saw Mike Tyson. It was on ABC on a weekend afternoon. That's right. ABC Wide World of Sports used to show boxing for free. September 30th, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. I want to make a point why this matters so much. Let me use another example from the world, from a geopolitical context. China and their one-child policy. As many of you know, in China, for quite some time, they've had a policy where they have limited inside of the country. Yeah, this is Batman music score music underneath my voice. They have limited the amount of children you can have in China to one per couple because they wanted to deal with overcrowding, etc. But one of the things that it has done is it has limited the growth of the family business firm. You can't have a family business if you only have one child. We're the first cousins, we're the brothers and sisters to go into business with. So there's economic implications when you don't keep the next generation in mind. This is why what President Obama did, if you look at it from strictly business and marketing perspective, is profound. He was able to pull in a whole new kind of voter. And the question is now, will they follow him or will they follow the Democratic Party that he brought them into? So I may make people a little uncomfortable with the kind of subject matter that I talk about, because the real wise people of this world do not just think in terms of elections. They think in terms of generations. So you have to think like that. One of my main criticisms of a lot of these leadership that we have in our community and organizations is they don't do anything with young people in mind. So they disrespect hip-hop culture. They don't work with anybody who's in a street organization. They don't look at all at what young people, what the language is, what the slang on the street is. I'll give you all a good example. And this is nothing personal. A lot of people up in New York were excited about the Only Bill for Cuban Links album from my man Raekwon of Wu-Tang Clan. It's an excellent album. I had people even in the South telling me that this was going to be the album that brought New York back. I was very skeptical. You know why? Because I could walk right out on U Street. I could go through certain neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. And nobody was pumping Raekwon's album. See, some of us in our 30s have a very generational specific mindset. Raekwon's album is popular among young people when they hear it. But to get the attention of young people, you got to hit the mixtape circuit down south. You got to get on BET and you got to get on radio. And I knew that there had not been a single or a video off of the Raekwon album that had penetrated the south. And the real young 15, 16, 17 year old. So from a marketing standpoint, Raekwon appeals to that kind of person, that demographic. But until you market them, you go nowhere. It's the same with all of our civil rights organizations. It's the same with any company that markets its product to an older audience. So when I do this show, I can't just do the show for people 30, 40, 50 years old. I have to keep the 20-year-old in mind, the teenager in mind, if we're really serious about advancing the principles that we believe in. So we'll talk maybe a little more about this in hour number four when I get into a review of Brick City at around 3 o'clock Eastern time. I want to make a point. You can't be afraid of your children. You cannot be afraid of the young people in our community and then say that you are a progressive. You're building a nation. It doesn't work that way. You can't just preach to the choir. Send in your comments. A lot more ground I want to cover. If you had any opinions on David Patterson, governor of New York, President Obama's position, discouraging him to run for governor, let me know. Another point I want to make on Floyd Money Mayweather was the alliance that he formed with 50 Cent. That was very important. I think it was good for 50, too. So Mayweather has, if you look at what he's doing, he has penetrated, and this is, business is a lot like warfare. Business is a lot like warfare. So if you look at the different beachheads or the fronts that Floyd Mayweather has penetrated, he's gotten into hip-hop. So he's got the young black Latino, young white audience with wrestling. He's gotten an older demographic that watches wrestling. He even agreed to be the person that starts wave the green flag for the Indy 500. I mean, why is he doing all this? Why is he on the cover of Men's Fitness? This is a lesson to a lot of you all that want to popularize what you're doing. You got to hit different buttons. Okay, let me hit a couple comments. Got something here from Tanine from Willingboro, New Jersey, the Thoroughboro. He says, what upset, I have to agree. He says, that is how boxing pulled me in with Sugar Ray Leonard and the regular TV. So, right, I became a boxing fan because the stuff was on free TV. So Tanine also as well. Glenn from Philly says that he's got to go tend to some business. But he says, as Money Mayweather says, prayers, hard work, and belief, and a good team. Got to have a good team around you, or everything that you do eventually will just fall with you. That's why I have a chapter on standardization, how to build a business beyond yourself, and that's coming from making mistakes myself, as well as talking to some of the experts in that world. I have an interview with Michael Gerber, one of the experts on standardization, in my book. If you're trying to build something just beyond your personality, then get my book, Volume 2, The Business Principles. Rod Guignard, Culver City, California, he says that his brother from another mother, we met him last week, OC, is online listening. He says, we're both looking for some red meat. He's an old school survivalist reparationist, and we both are ready to bring it. There is some tie-in with the surviving in the business world, so I'm feeling your book promotion. He says, but the Gaddafi-Chavez tag team is also interesting. Well, first of all, let me salute OC. I just saluted the general. Anyone who's an old-school survivalist and a reparationist gets a salute, tip of my hat. But this is part of the problem. Rod, California, how many young people even know who Hugo Chavez is? How many young people even know who Muammar Gaddafi is? Now, if I had started, this is just me talking, if I had started my show talking about Muammar Gaddafi and Hugo Chavez, I would not have the attention of very many young people, except for some people in college who are studying that. So I will get into the tag team between the greatest tag team perhaps since the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, Muammar Gaddafi of Libya, Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. If you and OC you have some other things you want to do, I'll let you know when I'm going to get into that. I'll get into Muammar Gaddafi and Venezuela, the meeting that just took place, the Africa and South America Alliance. I'll get into that in hour number 5, the final hour of the show, okay? But I think that the other content that we're dealing with is part of the total story that we have to tell now. We can't just satisfy one group of folk. But anyway, hour number 5, OC and Rod, if you all want to tune in just for the Libya-Venezuela discussion. But no young people care about that. No young people care about I'll give you a perfect example. I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. When we did our business and building movement get-together in 2007, we had members of the Bloods that were with us. I'm talking young, early 20s, I believe. Maybe even a teenager. They did not know that there was an effort to establish a United States of Africa until they had heard about it from us. So don't you know that at the end of our meeting, I had members of quote-unquote gangs telling me that they wanted to go to Africa because they heard that. But they heard it in an environment where they were respected. This is what I'm saying. You can't teach progressive or socialist ideology to young people who are into hip-hop, who are running the streets, who have their own culture and lifestyle that's youth-oriented. You can't force-feed them consciousness until you show them that you respect them. This is one of the big hang-ups that I have with a lot of the progressive movement that thinks that you should genuflect, bow and pay homage to Fidel Castro, Hugo Chavez, certain revolutionaries in Africa, when you haven't made that struggle relevant to what's going on in Compton or Camden. It's irrelevant. Ice Cube actually said it best. He said, "You want a free Africa? I stare at you. We ain't got it too good in America. I can't F with them overseas. My whole boy died over keys." There's a way to talk about what's going on in Kingston, Jamaica that can relate to the person that lives in the streets of Houston, Texas. So that's what we try to do every Wednesday, okay? Send in more comments. You don't have to agree with me to weigh in. I wanted to review two albums. By the way, I didn't get a chance to. Pearl Jam and another one. So we'll do music reviews next week. But I wanted to stay focused on some of the more pertinent content. Next hour, we'll get into Shark Tank and then Brick City in hour number 4, okay? And Muammar Gaddafi was on GPS and Larry King, but I didn't like the content of the interviews. So I really didn't see, I didn't have much audio or video to work with. So we'll let that, we'll reserve that. This is the sweet spot of my microphone. Some of you wonder why the microphone's turned. See the sound changes? But when I get like this, that's the sweet spot, just so you know. So I did watch the interview of Muammar Gaddafi of Libya on GPS and Larry King. But not much was there for it, for our viewers, I thought. Shanty towns. Let's talk about it in the United States of America. Listen up.
We want to take you inside one of America's tent cities. They are becoming more and more common as more people, they're losing their homes in this devastating economy. In Nashville, we found something that you really might not expect. Our CNN's Sean Caleb, he is there. Sean, there are a good number of people who are living in these tent cities, and they have actually either just lost their jobs or they have jobs.
Yeah, without question. About half the people living in those 10 cities are living under those kind of conditions. And a lot of cities like Nashville are basically allowing these tent cities to thrive because they have no other alternative.
They may be off the beaten path, but Nashville city leaders know they're here and know they have nowhere else to go. People like Reginald Vegas Watson.
Yeah, you've been homeless for a year. What happened? How did you end up like that?
Well, lost my job and couldn't pay rent, so.
It's a familiar story. The sour economy has spurred the growth of this shantytown.
Some folks here live down by the river. Many others live in the shadow of the underpass you can see in the distance. The folks in this tent city tell us that at any given time, between 50 and 70 residents call this home. For the most part, the city of Nashville tolerates this site, but only after public safety issues were addressed. For example, porta-johns and even a makeshift shower were recently added.
Studies show a dramatic increase in the number of homeless this year, partly because of a record number of home foreclosures. It's difficult to determine the exact number of homeless because so many choose the streets over a shelter. But the National Law Center on Homelessness puts the number across the country at 3.5 million, roughly the size of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. Here in Nashville, church groups are providing these simple items to keep the area somewhat clean. Clifton Harris works for the city and says it has simply stopped fighting to oust folks.
What we recognize is that, you know, we can't just keep moving people from one site to another site.
He says about 50% of the people here do work at least part-time.
No, I find people want to leave this environment. You know, very few people that, you know, wake up and decide, no, they want to be homeless.
Wendell Segro says he's been here on and off for the past 5 years.
You got like a house here now. This is a cottage.
He has a donated prefab structure he shares with his three pit bulls. And he pulls electricity from a massive billboard. And he says he wants to leave.
I want to get back up. I'd rather have to be worried about paying a mortgage.
Segro says some in this tent city have alcohol and drug problems or mental health issues. Nashville has gotten about 25 people out of here and into permanent housing. But as Vegas gets ready for another night, he says that as far as the city is concerned, out of sight is out of mind.
And they try not to think about us. I mean, because they look at it like this. We're down here. We're not their problem.
See, this is one of the areas I'm talking about. If you say shantytown, most people will think South Africa, Haiti, somewhere overseas. You got that right in America.
Y'all under me, so when it's over, if I ain't in the front, at least I'm gonna be.
Cedric Muhammad.